The follower of Christ has a unique opportunity, a great opportunity to minister God's love and truth to an unbelieving spouse and to their children.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
I think that sometimes our biggest challenges in life are also our greatest opportunities. Big challenge, big opportunity. But it's also true that the reverse of that is true, that sometimes our greatest opportunities in life are our biggest challenges, aren't they? For myself, as I think about that, I think back to a time about 16 years ago, and it's hard to believe that it's been that long now. It was a time when I was beginning to question God's plan for my life. You see, I had graduated from Bible college and seminary, and God had graciously led me through some years of personal struggling and wrestling with the great questions of life in order to strengthen me and prepare me for ministry. And I had then served in a number of different kinds of ministries, but it seemed that a pastoral position eluded me. My name was out there, opportunities would come up, but nothing seemed to ever come of it. And I began to wonder, have I made a big mistake in my life? And I wondered, was my life never going to be what I had thought or hoped that it was going to be? But then, one evening, I received a phone call from a place called Wonder Lake Bible Church. Wonder Lake, where's Wonder Lake? All right. And it seems that they were looking for an interim pastor. And they had seen my name on a Moody referral list and wanted to know, was I interested in coming out to see them? And I said, sure. I was even willing to preach on Christmas. And I think that may have earned me a couple of extra brownie points there right from the start. Well, many of you know what happened from there. And if you don't, I'll give you a hint. I have been serving as pastor here ever since. But many of you also know that it was not an easy situation when I first came here. The church had been through some very difficult times. And I realized that there was a lot of painful confrontation and reconciliation work to be done. And I wasn't sure that I was up to the task of that. And I had to wrestle through that with God. Lord, this would be one of the biggest challenges of my life, but yet it was one of the greatest opportunities as well. You see, and out of that challenge, out of that big challenge, no doubt one of the biggest challenges of my life came this great opportunity. Out of that big challenge came this great opportunity of serving all of you here at WLBC. And so God used that challenge right from the start to grow me and to teach me how to be a pastor. Because you know what? They don't actually teach you how to be a pastor in seminary. Now, they give you a good foundation. They give you some good things to know. But really, pastoring, well, that's something that a book can't teach you. And so out of that then came growth and understanding what it means to be a pastor. And so I was then, and I continue to be grateful to all of you for your love, for your patience, you've needed it, and your desire to honor God and His Word. And now, perhaps you're sitting there and you're wondering, what in the world does that story have to do with our biblical marriage series? Well, when you're single, you'll grab onto anything for illustration. No, that's not it. That's not really it. No, it's this. And that is, sometimes our biggest challenges can indeed also be our greatest opportunities, can't they? And I want us to consider then today one of the biggest challenges a believer may face, but to then see that as a great opportunity. And I am talking about the challenge of a spiritually mixed marriage. What do I mean, a spiritually mixed marriage? Well, that is a marriage in which one partner is a believer in Christ and the other is not. So I'd ask us, what is the believer to do in such an instance? Now, I know that there are some of us here in this church who are in that situation. But I know that some of those marriages are good marriages, and I also know that some of them are not. And so I ask, what are you to do? Well, I think we'll see from the Word of God here today that in a spiritually mixed marriage, the follower of Christ has a unique opportunity, a great opportunity to minister God's love and truth to an unbelieving spouse and to their children. Now, many of us, I know, are not in this situation. Perhaps if we're married, we're married to another believer. Or perhaps we're not married. Is there anything in this message then for you? How many of you think there's something in this message for you nevertheless? Good. I want a few more hands than that. Come on, you can do better than that. That's good. See, there is, yes, because the principle remains that it is in our biggest challenges, whatever it may be, that God can show himself, prove himself faithful, and give us the strength to persevere, to honor his word, and to serve as a faithful witness for Christ. For example, some of you, maybe you're the only believer in your workplace. Or perhaps you have family members who are hostile, perhaps quite hostile, to the faith. So whatever your challenge, God's grace is greater, and the opportunity is there for us to be faithful witnesses of God's love and truth. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. But before we turn to that, some context. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with many different kinds of marriage-related issues. At the beginning of the chapter, the Apostle Paul there deals with the necessity to uphold and honor the need for physical intimacy within marriage. He then deals with the issue of marriage and singleness, saying that everyone has their own gift from God. And you remember, we looked at this before a few messages back and thought, do you consider your marriage status, single or married, a gift from God? You might think, well, boy, it doesn't feel like a gift someday. But it is, each one in its own way, a gift from God if we understand it and receive it as such. He then advises those who are not married there in the church at Corinth. He says it is good for them to remain single, but if they cannot exercise self-control, it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And then to the married among them, he tells them that they must remain faithful to their mates and not seek divorce. And in relaying that command, Paul directly quotes the teaching of the Lord Jesus. You'll note that in verse 10, if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, he says what? To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. What was he saying? He was quoting and directly referring to the teaching, the direct teaching of the Lord Jesus on that. So now Paul has addressed the church here. He has discussed unmarried persons, has teaching for them. And then he has also discussed believers who are married to one another, two believers within the marriage. But that's not everyone in the church, is it? Well, there's married and unmarried. That's everyone, right? Well, not exactly, you see, because he addressed believers who are married to one another. But what about a situation where you have a spiritually mixed marriage? See, we certainly have that in our day as well. But then in Corinth, it was a heavily pagan city, and the church was brand new. Faith in Jesus Christ was a brand new thing. And you had many people coming to faith in Jesus. And the result of it was is that you would end up sometimes with both husband and wife. But sometimes it was only the husband or only the wife. And so you had a spiritually mixed marriage. Same thing happens today, doesn't it? So, what are believers to do in that? See, these are the rest, the unmarried and the believers who are married to one another. But what about the rest? That is, those who are in this spiritually mixed marriage, those believers who are married to an unbelieving spouse. What does he want to say to them? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll start in verse 12, where Paul says there, "To the rest, I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?" Well, here, Paul gives us some powerful and, if I dare might say, frankly, slightly mysterious teaching here. I don't know that I fully understand everything that Paul is saying here or teaching here. It's powerful, but there's a little bit of mystery in this as well. One of the things you know I like to do is this translation here, the English Standard Version, is an excellent word-for-word translation of the original scripture there. But sometimes it can be helpful to compare passages in other translations. And there's a translation I like called the New Living Translation that kind of simplifies things and puts it a little more down to earth for us easier. I think someone has said it's the Easy Bible. Is that right? So let's take a look at this passage and consider what it says, what we just read there, if this might help to open up a little bit of the mystery for us on what Paul is saying here. He says, "Now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the believing husband or wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you?" And so as we look at this text today, I want us to consider some matters of covenant. Remember, a covenant in the scriptures is a solemn promise. A solemn promise. So I want us to consider here the matters of covenant faithfulness, of covenant blessing, and sometimes of covenant dissolution. Covenant faithfulness, covenant blessing, and covenant dissolution. First is covenant faithfulness. See, marriage is a covenant. Marriage is not a contract. You know, what's the difference between a covenant and a contract? A contract, you know, it spells everything out. If you do this, then I will do this. If you don't do this, well, then here are the penalties and so forth. That's a contract, right? Whereas a covenant was a sacred, profound, and binding, absolute, till death us do part, solemn promise, wasn't it? Aren't you glad God has made a covenant with his people and not a contract? How many of you would have had, how many of you think God would have ripped up the contract with you? I know he would have ripped up mine a long time ago, right? But he is faithful. And so he calls us as his people to be faithful to our covenants, including the covenant of marriage. And here in the covenant of faithfulness, he says, we're called to remain faithful in that, to remain with our mate. If you're in a spiritually mixed situation, don't leave your mate because of that. Remain faithful and bound to your mate. Now, some of you might wonder, why does he say there at the beginning? We read it the first time in the ESV. It says, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord. It makes it sound, at first reading there, kind of sounds like Paul is just saying, well, you know, I say this, not the Lord. This is just my opinion, you know, so take it or leave it. This isn't the Lord speaking here. This is just me talking, take it or leave it. Is that what Paul meant when he said that? I say I, not the Lord? No, we need to understand in its context what he's saying. See, because just before he had quoted for believers who were married to one another, he said, the Lord, not I, but the Lord says, he was directly referencing specific teaching of Jesus on the subject of marriage. But now, here's a situation where Jesus had not directly addressed the matter. You know, in his earthly ministry, he had not directly addressed the matter of a spiritually mixed marriage between a Christian and an unbeliever. But now Jesus is addressing it. God is addressing it. And how is he addressing it? Through the Apostle Paul, through the inspired writing of the Apostle Paul. So what I'm saying is, this is not optional. When Paul says, I say, not the Lord, he's simply saying, unlike previously where we can look directly what Jesus said, now he is saying this, and he goes on to say, and I, he, as in other places, and I believe I have the Spirit of the Lord, and he did, right? So this is authoritative teaching from the Lord through the Apostle Paul. It's just not a direct quote of Jesus' teaching in his earthly ministry. That's all he means by that when he says, I, not the Lord. And so what does the Lord say then through Paul? In a spiritually mixed marriage, he says, well, if a believing spouse has an unbelieving spouse and the unbeliever desires to remain in the marriage, well, then the believer should not seek a divorce. Now, you might be wondering, some of you might not be wondering at all, but some of you might be wondering, why would people wonder if they should divorce their unbelieving spouse? He says, if the unbeliever desires to remain in the marriage, you believe, believer, don't seek a divorce. So you might wonder, well, why would they even contemplate that? Why would they seek a divorce from their spouse? You might say, well, is it because it's hard to be in an unequally yoked marriage? Yes, it is, right? Certainly it can be. So maybe they were wondering, well, is that why they were wondering? Should they seek a divorce? Because it's difficult to be in an unequally yoked marriage. Some of you might wonder, unequally yoked. Maybe that's a new term for some of us. What do we mean by that? Well, it was an expression from, it was an agricultural term that it had to do with in the fields where oxen would be yoked together. It was something that bound them together. So you had a team of two of them, and it held them together so that the farmer could control, as it would pull the plow, it can control that those oxen and where they were going, so they were yoked together. Now, to say that something is unequally yoked, it means what? That you've got a situation where instead of two ox or oxen, if you will, working together, you got one ox that's going this way and another ox that's going that way. By the way, I did not just call anyone in here an ox, okay? But to be unequally yoked means what you're going different directions in life. And it's true, isn't it, that there can be different values, different priorities, different perspectives. It's tough enough for two believers who have the Word of God and who have the Spirit of God to sometimes deal with the challenges of life and marriage, isn't it?
Yep. Yep.
What about a situation then where you have two completely different philosophies and what's important? That is difficult, isn't it? So maybe some might wonder, was that the reason why? I think for some, sure, that could be. But I suspect actually there may have been another reason why some might have wondered if it was proper to divorce. So there may have been some who were familiar, either of a Jewish background, or perhaps they knew of from their exposure to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, where they read in Ezra. You remember the Old Testament book of Ezra, where we read of Israelites who had come back. Remember, they had gone into exile. The nation of Israel, some hundreds of years before, they had gone into exile because of what? Their idolatry and their unfaithfulness, right? They had been unfaithful to God, and part of that included marrying foreign wives and adopting the practices, the idolatrous practices of them. And God had warned them over and over and over again. But they didn't listen, and eventually they went into exile. Well, now they have come back. Some years they've come back from exile. They're back in the land. And they wonder, what do we do now where some of them, they were in these spiritually mixed marriages where here were these Israelites. They wanted to be faithful to the covenant of God, faithful to the covenant that God had made with the nation. And yet, well, they had pagan mates. What were they to do? And in that instance, in that situation, they were told to put them away, to divorce them. Now, that's a whole other issue, and then we get into other questions about marriage and divorce, but I just want to say, I think there's a background for us to understand that's why they might think, what am I to do? Am I to follow the example of what they did in the time of Ezra, some 400 some years before? Or what? And that's why Paul, and through him the Lord, says, no, don't put them away. If you are a believer, do not divorce your unbelieving spouse. No matter the difficulty, no matter how great the challenge, if the unbelieving spouse consents to remain married, then remain married. Now, I know it takes two people to be faithful to a covenant, doesn't it? But as far as the believer is concerned, you are to be faithful. Don't you be the one to break that. You be faithful. No matter how difficult, no matter how great the challenge, whether the marriage is good or not so good. Remain together if the unbelieving spouse is willing to do so. Now, remember earlier I said that sometimes with great challenge there comes great opportunity, right? So now what I think is no doubt a great challenge in life, finding yourself in a spiritually mixed marriage, there comes a great opportunity. We're told to pursue faithfulness, covenant faithfulness, because out of that is the opportunity for what? For covenant blessing. For covenant blessing. And here's where we see this somewhat mysterious teaching from Paul, where he says, the unbelieving spouse is made holy because of the believing spouse. What does that mean? So you're in a spiritually mixed marriage, and if you are the believer, well, your unbelieving spouse is made holy because of you. What is Paul saying there? Is he saying, well, because you are a believer, because you're saved, your mate is saved? No, that's not what he's saying. How does someone come into a right relationship with God? Through faith, right? Through their faith. Not through someone else's faith. Through your own faith, right? So he's not saying, well, they're saved. But he says they're holy. What is he talking about? Well, that word holy, sometimes translated sanctified, it literally means what? To be set apart. You're set apart. So before God, there is something different about you, that about that unbelieving mate before God. They are set apart for God. What? That is, that person, and I think there's some mystery here in this. It says, that person is set apart for blessing through the believing spouse. That God's blessing, that there is a blessing on that person through the believing spouse. Again, this is not salvation apart from faith. That's only by faith. But blessing, there exists blessing in that home because of the presence of the believer in that home. That there is a witness of God's love and truth in that home. There, that faithful believer brings holiness into that home and makes that home different. And there's blessing from that that spills out, if you will, or spills over onto the unbelieving mate. And you know what? I think that unbelieving mate may not always realize that or understand that. I think sometimes they do, though, and sometimes they don't. But whether that mate, the unbelieving mate, realizes or not, there's blessing in that home because of the presence of the believing mate in that home, isn't there? And they are a beneficiary of that. And I think that's what Paul is saying when he says that the unbelieving spouse is made holy or is set apart because of the believing spouse. Then he also says something a little mysterious. He says, well, otherwise your children would be unclean, but they are not clean. They are holy. So what is he saying? Well, I think the same principle then. That because of the presence of that believing husband or that believing wife, the children also are recipients of God's blessing and favor. And I know some of you here, you're nodding your heads right now because you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That there is blessing for those children, as he says. It says, otherwise they would be unclean, but now they are holy. That is, they too are recipients of blessing in the home because of that believing mom, because of that believing dad. A blessing that they would not have if there was not a believing parent in that home. So, within this great challenge of a spiritually mixed marriage, is this great opportunity. That opportunity to do what, believer? To minister God's love and God's truth to your mate and to your children. Sometimes, well, in fact, oftentimes, I've seen where those children become believers themselves, don't they? Sometimes they don't. But I've seen oftentimes where they do because of that believing mate. I'm an example of that. My mother was a believer. My father was not. There's a long story behind all of that. I won't go into all of that here today. But you know what? I'm a recipient of the blessing of God in our home because of my mom. And so is my brother, so is my sister. They came to faith a little later than I did. But nevertheless, they came to faith. And I know that, humanly speaking, I know God is sovereign, okay? But humanly speaking, a lot of it was because of my mom's faithful love and witness and prayers. We're also asked in verse 16, how do you know, O believer, whether you will save your unbelieving spouse? Now, first of all, I think it's, we don't save anyone, do we? But we can be instruments God uses to save others. Some have debated, how exactly are we to understand that verse? Kind of the pro side and the con side. Let's talk about the pro side for just a minute here that I think he may be saying. And the New Living Translation takes this pro side interpretation here, okay? And that is, it's saying, this again is part of that covenant blessing spillover, if you will. That not only is there blessing in your home because of you, believer, on your spouse and on your children, but you know what? You just might be the instrument through whom God works to bring salvation to that unbelieving spouse. And it's happened many times, hasn't it? And that may well be what Paul is saying there. You know what the reality is I think sometimes we have precious little understanding about how God can use us to be a blessing in others' lives. Now, I can't personally speak to this situation, but you know what? I can speak to sometimes being amazed at how God can use even someone such as I to be a blessing, even when I don't think I'm really doing anything. Nevertheless, God uses that to bless people. And a good example of that is, the privilege I have of serving, not just in this church, but into the community as well through the fire district, through the fire rescue district. In fact, I just had an opportunity at 3:50 a.m. today. Now, you see, there's sometimes the challenges, and it's funny how God works this way, okay? But there was a call that came very early this morning for an unresponsive person. And I knew what that meant. That means you're getting out of bed, you're getting dressed, and you're driving over there is what that means. And I'm going to, a little confession between you and me and our four walls here. Sometimes when those calls come at like 3:00 in the morning, I'm not always eager to get out of bed and go over there. But you know what I have found to be the case more often than not? It is those calls at those times where the Spirit of God seems to move the most powerfully. Right? So here I was on this call this morning, getting dressed and driving over there and thinking, I got a busy day today this morning, Lord, come on. And I get over there and the man has passed. And it was an older man. So there he was there with his wife. His wife was there. And their children and grandchildren were there. And I had a chance then to talk with them and to to be used of God to minister peace and comfort to them, but to then have a wonderful conversation with one of the grandkids, a young woman about 18 or 19 years old, who started talking to me about how she used to go to church, but now she was getting away from that, and she just didn't know what to make of that whole thing, that whole tired of organized religion stuff and that, and kind of being how, you know, how we see in the statistics today, more and more people check the nuns, they call them, no religion, kind of moving in that direction. But then when her grandfather became ill, she felt the need to pray again and started talking about it. And yet she struggled, though, with things that she had experienced in a church that was different, if you will, from ours, and that was very ritualistic, if I may say. And she didn't feel like she was really connecting with God through that. So I had an opportunity to talk with her about how she can connect with God without mindlessly repeating things. And when I drove away from there this morning, I once again had to say, Lord, you did it again. You took us to, I'm kind of grumbling about that it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think you're going to use that conversation to change that young woman's life. Same way, I think it's sometimes maybe the things that we might be grumbling about that God is going to use to change lives. You know, there have been many times when a firefighter is coming down. Firefighters don't like to talk about things, and they're also tough, and we see terrible things sometimes, and they don't like to talk a lot about it. And part of it is because, well, that's just part of it, it's just being tough and not talking about it. But sometimes you can get them alone and the truth can come out. And you know, there have been many times when they have said, and this is, I don't say this, I'm not asking you to give credit to me, because it's not to me, it's to the Lord, okay? But I tell you, there have been many times when they have said, on the especially bad calls, okay, they said, you know, we are always so happy when we see you drive up here, because when you do, we feel like God is here and everything's going to be okay. And we're going to get through this. Believing spouse, you are the 911 in your home. Because of you, God is there. And God's blessing rests on you and on your home. It's covenant faithfulness, covenant blessing. What about covenant dissolution? Well, let's be honest here. Sometimes that unbelieving partner wants to separate. Doesn't want any part of that. To which Paul simply says what? Let it be. Let it be so. And in that case, the believing partner is not enslaved, is not bound. What does he say? I think he's saying that in those cases, believer, if the unbelieving partner wants to leave you, divorce you, let them do that. You're not bound anymore in that situation. And I believe, yes, you are free to remarry, but that's, we'll look at that next week, okay? For God has called you to peace. God does not want constant uproar in your home either. And he's called us to be instruments of peace. And if that means accepting that partner leaves, we may be called to do so, letting it be. Remember I told you there was a pro side and a con side to verse 16? See, here's the con side. If you read verse 16 in the ESV, it says there what? For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your... It says, you are called to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save... I think what he's saying is that we don't know. We are instruments of God's love and truth in the home, but we don't know that that believing, unbelieving spouse is ever going to believe or not. And so if they want to leave, you're called to peace. You are not bound, and you can let them go. And you know what? They might not ever believe. You don't know. How do you know they ever will? And in the context, I think that's probably what he's saying. So what? Well, I want to take us back where we started. In a spiritually mixed marriage, the follower of Christ has a unique opportunity to minister God's love and truth to an unbelieving spouse and children. God's word, God calls the believer to covenant faithfulness. And we're even told in a way that I don't fully understand. You know what? You're a channel of blessing in that home. Not just your witness, what you say. And by the way, our witness isn't just our words, is it? It's, I think, more so, it's our actions and how we live, right? But I think there's something on a level I don't quite get. That there's blessing that you have no idea how your home or how your mate is blessed because of you. Covenant faithfulness and blessing. Blessing rests on that home because of you, believer. I want to remind us all then, too, of God's abundant grace and pardon. You might feel like, boy, I have not been the best witness in my home. How many of us here have never failed? How many of us here have always been the perfect witness for Christ? Well, I want you to know that God's grace is abundant. And I want you to know that God's power, that He is able, as we started when we sang, He is able to do more than we can even imagine or ask. You might think, I don't know if I'm up to the task of being this channel of blessing in my home. And maybe you can't be, but you know what? The Holy Spirit in you can. Are you the 911 first responder in your home spiritually? You can be through the abundant power of God in you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the gift of marriage. And God, I know, we know that there are some who struggle in that, who find themselves in a spiritually mixed marriage. But God, I pray for each one in that situation here, that you would strengthen them with power, that you would encourage them, that they would know your love such that your love would flow through them to their mate, even that impossible mate. May we all, Lord, be faithful to our covenants, looking to you, Lord Jesus, and looking forward to that day when you will fulfill fully your covenant promise to us. Until then, we wait for you and your time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.